I bring you greetings from Kisumu, from my family and the church. This morning we have the privilege of hearing God's word brought to us from the book of Psalms, and specifically in Psalm chapter number 23. This is a psalm that is well known by most of us, if not all of us, because it forms probably part of our devotions, it forms part of our Sunday school. It's quite a psalm that is familiar to all of us. So then, we will be spending much time just reflecting and meditating on the psalm as we see of something of the goodness and trustworthiness of Christ Jesus our Lord. I shall read the psalm in ESV, and then we shall give thanks, and afterwards we shall meditate on the psalm. Let me read it in our hearing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's give thanks. Lord, as has been prayed by our brother Pastor Emmanuel, now we are praying, Lord, that you take of these truths in Psalm 23 and plant them deep in our hearts by your Spirit. For this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the metaphor shepherd is picked by Christ Jesus in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, when in John chapter number 10, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. And so, we begin to see a connection between the utilization of this metaphor, shepherd, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one of the things, amazing things, the Lord Jesus Christ says in John and chapter number 10, is that he is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, you could give a picture, or you could picture, you know, death coming, and rather than death consuming the sheep, the shepherd comes in front, embraces the sheep, and tells death, instead of consuming the sheep, please consume me, that the sheep may be spared. Is the one who lays down his life for the sheep, that we would not be consumed by death and by sin, but that death may come upon him, that, you know, as he dies on the cross of Calvary, he is the one who pays perfectly the debt that we owed God. Christ Jesus is the one who fully satisfies the demands of the law of God when he puts his life on the cross of Calvary, when he dies and he says, it is finished. When the Lord of glory agonizes on the cross and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The shepherd is laying down his life for the sheep. This is the kind of shepherd we're talking about this morning. A shepherd that loves his sheep to the point that he pays their debts fully and finally and perfectly. That if death would consume us, then death would rather consume him. And then he's able to consume that, you know, poison of death in his body of flesh. He's able to be crucified that our lives may be spared. And so it's no wonder the Apostle Paul can say, there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Because he has consumed the demands of the law for us. He has taken away our sins as east is from the west. That's why he says, I'm the good shepherd. Now, in this context of the Old Covenant, David also sees of something of this metaphor, practically speaking, in his life. He has a fellowship with the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. He has something of a fellowship with him, and I want us to, as we open up this psalm in the life of David, to see of something of the reminiscence between our relationship to Christ and David's relationship to the Lord, Yahweh. This is what I want us to do. It must be remembered, brothers and sisters, that a shepherd is everything in as far as a sheep is concerned. Those of us who have had the privilege of taking care of animals would understand that for a shepherd is everything. A sheep, if you leave them to themselves, they can't help themselves. They can't protect themselves, for example. A sheep, when you leave them to themselves to just graze around, they'll graze into the fields of the enemy. They'll graze in the fields of your neighbors. And they'll be in trouble. So they need a shepherd to guide them. This is the right direction to come and graze. A shepherd is everything to a sheep. And so David takes of that, you know, metaphor and applies it to his life, to himself, as he meditates on his relationship to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, observe how this is an expression of confidence and trust in the Lord. For example, the frequency with which David uses the word he and the frequency with which David uses the word you. Observe, for example, in verse number 2. Verse number 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Then immediately, there's a transition. He goes to he. How many times do you observe the word he? He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Did you see the words, the number, the frequency of the word he? It is he. He is expressing his confidence and comfort and trust and contentment in the Lord. So it's about him, is the point. Look at now verse number 5. Beginning verse number 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Again, I will fear no evil. Look at the transition again. "You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Again, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." You begin to see that David is expressing contentment, confidence, and something of comfort in the Lord. He is pointing us to the Lord. He wants us to see of something of who this Lord is. As we meditate on who this Lord is, we ourselves in our context as Christians, those who have known this Lord, you know, savingly, the Lord Jesus Christ, we then can have something of comfort in our lives, in the areas that we shall see in a short while. And so we see of something of similarity between trusting the Lord in the new covenant and trusting the Lord in the old covenant, and as far as the Lord is referred to as the shepherd of the sheep. Now the questions that then we must address ourselves to as we open up this psalm is this: how, as a Christian, you and me, can you describe your relationship with Christ? That's the topic I shall open up for us. That's the title of the sermon. How can you describe your relationship with Christ? For David, the Lord is the shepherd. That is the best way he can render something of this relationship, something of this fellowship to him, the Lord is the shepherd. And so we are asking ourselves, what about us? How can we describe our relationship with Christ? We shall, as we answer that question in Psalm 23, ask three questions that shall answer that question. First of all, we shall ask ourselves, is it a personal relationship? We shall ask that first question. Is it a personal relationship? Secondly, is it a pastoral relationship? Is it a pastoral relationship? And thirdly, is it a perpetual relationship? Is it a perpetual relationship? In that order. Let's meditate as to this relationship we have with Christ Jesus, and we ask ourselves, is our relationship with Christ a personal relationship? And the psalm should be able to guide us. And as we speak to this, you know, subject before us, shall be addressing both Christians and unchristians, those who have never believed in Christ simultaneously, so that you may have a meditation, a reflection, whether this psalm is applicable in your life. It's a time to, you know, meditate and think and reflect. Does this apply in my own personal life as I look at myself? In the first place then, is it a personal relationship? You are relationship to Christ. Look at David's expression in verse 1. How David expresses his relationship with the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David is not saying, "The Lord is the shepherd." That is true. It is true that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is the shepherd. David does not say so. In other words, he is not talking of something of the corporate nature of the shepherd of Christ or God. He is talking of the personal nature of the shepherd of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, put your finger on this psalm and turn to Psalm number 80 to see the point. That within the old covenant, the members of this covenant would still refer to God as their shepherd. And you see the distinction between Psalm 80 verse number 1 and Psalm 53 verse number 1 to make the point. In Psalm number 80, this is how God is referred to us by the members of the covenant. Psalm and chapter number 80 and verse number 1. This is a song of Asaph. And so he records, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." The nation of Israel would look at God as the shepherd of Israel, the shepherd of the community of God, the shepherd of them that are in a covenant fellowship with God, the entire nation. They would view God as their shepherd. So he would be called the shepherd of Israel. Then, back to Psalm 23. David does not say, the shepherd of Israel. He says, my shepherd. He is applying the shepherdhood of Christ in his life. He is applying the shepherdhood of God in his own personal life. Which is why we are asking, is your fellowship and relationship with Christ a personal one? Can you say that Christ is my shepherd? Because in John 10 he says, I am the good shepherd. He is the shepherd. Can you narrow it down to yourself and say, he is my shepherd? Is the question we're asking today. Let me bring it home. It is one thing to say that this is a boy. It is another thing to say, this is my boy. The first one is a statement of fact, okay? The second one is a declaration of relationship. This is what he's saying. That when the Lord is the shepherd of Israel, that is a fact. But when the Lord is my shepherd, that is now a relationship we have with him. A personal one. And the question is, does that apply to ourselves? Can we comfortably and you know, with confidence say that Christ Jesus, the one who has been sent by God the Father, is our shepherd? He is my in my own life. Now, back to verse 1 again, as we unpack this song. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord there is capital. Now, when the Lord is rendered in capital, this is the personal name of the Lord. The personal name of the God of Israel. Sometimes he is referred to as capital L, lowercase o, lowercase r, lowercase d, to denote his title. When it is lowercase o, r, d, capital L, it's a title. But when it's capital, everything is capital, it's a personal name. Let me give an example in this context. Now, the leader of this nation is referred to as president. So you have President Lazarus, assume so. It is one thing to refer to him as president. It is another thing to refer to him as Lazarus. Those are two different things, okay? So Lazarus is his personal name. The president is his title. David is saying he is referring to God with his personal name. See the point? It's different now. Surely, you can't refer to someone using their personal name if you're never in fellowship. That's the point he's communicating to us. He's telling us, my fellowship with God is so close that I can refer to him using his personal name. The people of the covenant would dare not call that name. It was a revered name. Because he reveals himself to Moses and says, I am that I am. That's the name. The name Yahweh is the name rendered here. He's not referring to him using his title. He's referring to him using his personal name. Is the point that David is communicating to us here. What is David telling us? That this relationship with the Lord is so personal and so close and so intimate. And we need to ask ourselves too, what about us and Christ? How close are we with Christ? Is Christ our personal Savior? Can we say that Christ is my personal prophet, my personal priest, my personal Lord, is my personal Savior in my life? I've experienced of something of his transforming power in my personal life. He knows my name because he says in John number 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them by my names. There's a knowing of Christ experientially. There's a fellowship in Christ personally and experientially, both in a salvation and in a life here and now. This phrase, my shepherd, still communicates something better. It is an expression of confidence in this very Lord. In other words, when you can say, this is my father, this is my son, or this is my uncle, in a public, it means you are not ashamed to be identified with them. See the point? How many of you can identify? Probably you're not, you don't appreciate your president, so you grumble. You can say he is the president, but to say he is my president is not very easy. Because you're not happy with him. So that's the point. You don't have the confidence to say so. For you to say my shepherd or my father, it means you are proud to be identified with them. That's the point. And so, someone who has, you know, who is delighted in their wives or their husbands, when they're introducing them, they can easily say, meet my wife. They don't say meet the wife. Because they are proud to be identified with the wife. You feel good to introduce them to someone. That's the point David is telling us. I'm proud to say he is my shepherd. I'm not ashamed. And so even as Christians, we sing, I am not ashamed to own my Lord. We have the pride of introducing him to people, of talking about him, of owning him, that he is our shepherd. Is what David is communicating to us this morning. But something else about this phrase, my shepherd. It communicates of something of the willing and joyful submission of David to the shepherd. You know, if he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he is referring to himself as the sheep. Okay? The sheep and the shepherd are different. To refer to God as the shepherd is saying God is my leader. He's saying I'm willingly submitting to his authority. Like the sheep submits to the leading of a shepherd. It is something of that joyful and willing submission to the Lord's leadership. How should we submit ourselves to the leadership and authority of Christ? Is it willing submission? Is it a joyful submission? We are proud of it. We love it. Now, David is the one who does not celebrate autonomy and independence. He's not this sheep that can, you know, take care of itself. He says, I don't need a shepherd over my life. He says, I need one, and the Lord is my shepherd. is the communication of David in this psalm. Dear brothers and sisters, can this be said of us? Can we too be identified with Christ Jesus as our shepherd? That you and me can say the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Has he done of something of the work of in my life, the work of serving me? Have I been in a fellowship with him? Have I been in a relationship with him in a manner that I have seen of something of that in my life experientially? Not just by knowledge, but experientially. Have we experienced of something of the transforming power of Christ in our lives? Has this Lord of ours saved you? Has he worked in your life? Do you think he has ransomed you from your sins? Has he reconciled you to his Father? Has this Lord justified you by his blood? Has he done that in your life? Can you own him? Can you be proud of him? Is that true of your life? If that is not true, then today I invite you to consider him as your shepherd. We shall see why this is important in the next point, which is what I'm introducing us to. We ask the next question. Is it a pastoral relationship? We're asking ourselves the question, how can you describe your relationship to Christ or with Christ? The first question you've asked, is it a personal relationship? In verse number one. Secondly, is it a pastoral relationship? Observe with me, beginning in verse number one and verse number up to five. Let's walk through this and see that David's relationship with the Lord here is pastoral. A shepherd is a pastor. That's the point. This is a language of a pastoral language. David looks at God as his pastor, shepherd. Let's see that is pastoral. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We'll come back to that later. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Surely, that is the work of a shepherd, isn't it? That is the work of a shepherd, is what he's telling us here. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of preciousness for his name's sake. What a wonderful shepherd. Verse number four. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely, those are words of a shepherd. Those instruments are used by a shepherd. The rod and the staff. It's a very pastoral relationship. It's a shepherd kind of sheep relationship. How is the Lord David's shepherd in this context? How is the Lord David's pastor? How does he pastor David? Let's see how David is pastored by the Lord here. And how, in the term, Christ pastors our lives every day. First of all, in the area of provision. In the area of provision. Look at that in verse number 2 and verse number 5. The area of provision. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Look at verse number 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Isn't that a language of provision? A provision is the one, is what I'm looking at here. He is being shepherded by the Lord in the area of provision. The Lord provides for him. Let's see how the Lord provides for him. First of all, the Lord provides for him as of something of the best quality. It is not just quality. It is not just provision. It is the best quality. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Not just any pasture, but green. See, ask yourself, what if there's drought? He ensures that whatever happens, in whatever situation, he must take it where there's green pasture. Those of you have seen shepherds. When it is drying, it is weather, it's withering, the crops are withering because the weather has changed. The shepherds have to travel long miles to look for green pastures. Have you seen that? To look for the best. That is the quality of a good shepherd. The Lord has to travel, as it were, with David to take him to the green pastures. Surely, someone looking for green pastures is not looking for any quality, the best quality for the sheep. You begin to say, why David has confidence in the Lord? Why he has this comfort in the Lord? In his leadership? I receive the best from the Lord. This is the point he's saying. I have the privilege of receiving of the best from the Lord. It doesn't stop there. Still verse number 2. He leads me beside not waters, but still waters. Quality is being emphasized here. Quality provision is at the fore here. That is something of how Christ shepherds us. In a short while, we'll appreciate that. But not just in terms of quality. Look at its abundance. Look at its abundance in verse number 5. The provision here is abundant. He says, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Isn't that abundance? That's the point. The Lord is this shepherd who is not just giving any and every quality, he's giving the best quality, but at the abundance of it. In verse number 5, David is seeing of something of the Lord being a host. And he's a guest. So the David visits the Lord as to what? He is the Lord's guest. And when he visits the Lord, as you visit people, when the Lord brings food to the table, he does not serve, as it were, a place. You know, those of us who are struggling, you know, those of us in Africa who come from villages, our mamas will never put food on the table. Each person will have his own plate. And then he serves you as you go. Because it's just a spoonful for everyone. That is when you are struggling financially, isn't it? But to set food on the table so that everyone enjoys it, it means it's abundance of it. That's what's called buffet, isn't it? This is abundance. It's a table. We don't put little food on the table. We put real food on the table. And he says, in the presence of my enemies, and then, that's not enough, he says, you anoint my head with oil. Look at the host. The host ensures that the guest is well taken care of. He's shining. He's well oiled. Because that is what would happen in Israel, in those communities of the Middle East. The guest would, the host would entertain the guests. They'd ensure that they're well nourished, their feet are well, you know, watered, okay? They'll wash their feet, and they'll anoint their head, their feet with oil, and even their head. And it says, my cup overflows. Surely, this is someone who is eating to his fill. The abundance of it. Now, go back to Christ and meditate on this. What does Christ say as regards the life he gives us in John 10:10? He says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that and have it. Have life and have it in abundance. Surely, isn't that a good shepherd? He has given us of something of the abundance of life. Full, perfect sustenance. Spiritually speaking. But even in our own life here in the world. He has pleased him to provide for us. Someone was praying this morning that the Lord puts a roof on our heads. He puts clothes on our backs. He does sustain us. He is the one doing it. We don't, you know, take delight in our own work, although we must work. We don't take delight in our own effort, as the Israelites were wont, but we put our delight and trust in that very Lord. That whatever he provides is the best of qualities and abundance of it. Now, look at David's contentment there. Out of this provision, verse number 1. Because of it, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely, if your cup is overflowing, is there anything you want? That's the point. He is content. Now, there are times mothers would probably appreciate this better. So people come to church like this. Each family comes with their potluck. You carry food. So you're going to eat at the service, after the service. probably, and of course this is very common with mothers, you must carry something for your child. And so someone has carried just some morsels in a container, some has carried some sumptuous meal, okay? So the one who has morsels, dry morsels, is eating, is not looking at the food, is putting the food, putting the food in his mouth, but looking at his neighbors. Because that looks more delicious. David says, for me, I shall not want. That is an expression of contentment. I don't lack anything. Because the one given to me is best, it is abundant. Surely, that is the contentment we must have in Christ. Whatever Christ gives us is the best quality, it is always abundant. That must be something that forms our mind, our thinking. The Lord gives you a job, please be content in that job. The Lord gives you a wife, please be content in that wife of yours. The Lord gives you of something of a church like this, please be content with it. Because He knows better than us. Surely, between a shepherd and a sheep, who knows best? The shepherd. He knows why you're in that job. He knows why you're in that position. He knows why you have that wife. He knows why you have those children. And not someone else's children. So he must be content with ours. It's an invitation to contentment. Please. Sometimes it's very tempting to look at your neighbor and think they're doing well. Please look at yourself and look at God. Come back to Psalm 23 in verse 1 and say, I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm content in Him and with everything He gives me. But this type of pastoral relationship is not just in the area of provision alone. It also goes to preservation. First of all, it's in the area of provision. Secondly, in the area of preservation. Let's see how David is preserved by this Lord as a shepherd. The work of a shepherd here. Look at, for example, in verse number 3. He says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul and leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. David is telling us of something of the preserving grace of this Lord, that He is preserved not to be vanquished in danger and with danger. When he veers off in verse number 3, his soul is restored. Literally speaking, his life is restored. Now, think with me for a moment. What happens in the life of David when he sins with Bathsheba and he kills Uriah? What does the Lord do if the Lord is his shepherd? The Lord sends Nathan, isn't it? The prophet. Nathan comes to David and tells him, gives him a parable. David is, you know, he doesn't understand that it is him being talked about. And ultimately, David understands that it is I being talked about. What does David do in Psalm 51? He goes back to God and repents. And is restored. Surely, isn't that a good shepherd? He would have left David in his sense. What did God do with Saul when Saul said? He left Saul to his damnation. But here for David, when David sins, he sends a prophet to restore him, to tell him of his sin. Some of you are at enmity with church discipline, isn't it? So if you see the pastor coming, Pastor Emmanuel coming, and tell you, you feel like you want to bang the door of his face. Yet he's just coming to restore you. Because the Lord loves you. Please let me encourage you. When you see a brother or a sister or your pastors coming to point out your sin, it is because the Lord is your shepherd. He's shepherding you back to way, not to be left to damnation, to be kind of lost. He does not leave us to our sins. He brings us back to the way that we may not be lost eternally. He preserves our lives. This is what David is inviting us to. But it doesn't end there. Look at something in verse number 4. This preservation. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, David is telling us of something of the preservation here. He is telling us of something of danger. And in this danger, in this fear, the Lord is with him, because he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In danger, when David is prone to wander, prone to leave the God that he loves, the Lord is ready with his rod and staff to comfort him, to bring him back to the flock. Now, the rod would be used as a weapon by the shepherds in Israel. The staff would be used to prod them the right way when they are bearing off. So there are two weapons used here. One is a rod to strike the enemies, the predators. But the staff would be long and maybe probably, you know, hooked, that would be used to prod the sheep back the way. He says, I cannot be lost, is the point. I am preserved. Maybe from this pulpit and other pulpits you have heard and you have been taught of something of the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. You know that doctrine? Saints will be preserved. This is what David is telling us. That I am prone to wander. I am sheep. And sheep are usually sometimes very foolish. He says, in my falling, in my sin, the Lord is so gracious because he's a good shepherd, but ensures that I keep right on track path. Look at something in verse number 3. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Only path of righteousness. And he does that for his name's sake. That his fame, that his reputation may not be, you know, spurned. That he receive the glory. This is what David is inviting us to. But thirdly, we are looking at this pastoral relationship David has with the Lord. First of all, it is in the area of provision. Secondly, it's in the area of preservation. But thirdly, it is in the area of presence. The Lord is present with him in verse number 4. He provides, he preserves, and is present as a shepherd. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is someone in trouble. Look at the language again of the text. Even though he's walking, I walk through the valley. He's not walking above the valley. He's not, as it were, you know, circumventing the trouble. He is going through the trouble. He's going through the evil things of this life. He's going through the dangers of this life. As he goes through the danger of this life, the Lord is with him in that danger. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they'll tell you about this. That they were thrown into fire, and the Lord was with them in the fire. Although he did not prevent them from being thrown into the fire, he went with them in the fire. So David says, it is not that I am strong or bold, I am courageous to go through troubles of the world and dangers. It is because of the one with me in that danger. It matters the one who is with you in trouble. In this case, you're talking about the Lord, the sovereign one, the great one. Children, if you leave them to their rooms when they are alone and their tendency is that they are afraid, if you switch off the lights, they will begin to scream. They don't want to sleep in their own rooms. Now, the same child, when you take the child to your bedroom and you switch off the light, they don't scream. Why? Have you tried that? These children who are afraid, put them in their room, switch off the light, they begin to scream. The same night, same you know, room, house, take them to your room or be with them in their room and switch off the light. Now they're not screaming. Why? Fear goes. Not because they're not afraid, but because the person with them. Someone is with them. And they trust the person with them. Stronger. They know that the person with them can deal with anything that comes. David says, I don't fear evil, not because I'm stronger than evil, not because I'm courageous, but because the Lord is with me. This is the comfort. But lastly, we ask the question, how can you describe something of your relationship with Christ? Is it a personal one? Is it a pastoral one? But lastly, Is it a perpetual censorship? In other words, this is not merely a temporal censorship. It abides. Does it abide? Is it a covenantal censorship? Look at verse number 6 to help us address that point. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. A perpetual relationship, not temporal. An abiding fellowship, an abiding relationship. It doesn't end there. Look at the next slide. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Give it to me, please. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a perpetual relationship. It doesn't end. You begin to see why David has confidence. Alright? He's there to stay. Now, in verse number 5, he says, the Lord prepares a table before him. In the presence of his enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. David is a guest here, the Lord is a host. He's saying that I'm going to feast on this sumptuous meal in all my life. I am not a guest that is visiting and going back. I'm a resident guest, there to stay. Now, let me give a final illustration. My brothers, we are on a trip to the conferences. And as we sampled different hotels and restaurants, we would move from 20 degrees to 0 degrees. They were so different. Sometimes we are even thinking of staying in one and not moving to another one. Because others are very comfortable and, well serviced and, everything was just wow. Sometimes we would go the ones down the scale. In the case of David, he's saying, the place where I'm well nourished and preserved and where my cup overflows, that is where I'm going to stay forever. He's not departing from that. He has confidence that I shall be well provided for, preserved there, the Lord will be present with me there, because this is a covenant relationship. When the God saves us, brothers and sisters, when He brings us to Christ Jesus for salvation, He's not bringing us that we may lose our salvation. It is a permanent salvation. That's why Christ says, I know my sheep, they know my voice, they hear me. None of them will be lost. Not even a single of the sheep of Christ Jesus will be lost. He's not going to lose any of them. And that's why salvation is covenantal. Why do we have a new covenant? Why covenantal? Because the love there is a covenantal love. Look at how it's described there. Surely, goodness and mercy. That mercy can be translated as steadfast love. Hesed. The love that endures forever. And it says, that goodness of the Lord, the loving kindness of the Lord, shall follow him all the days of his life. Covenant. This is the covenant that God has made with David. And we know that. This is the confidence of a Christian. When the Lord saves you, brothers and sisters, it is a salvation that the Lord who says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the coming of Christ. The Lord will never lose any of his sheep. And so he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will by no means lose them, but I shall produce them at the last day. This is a shepherd. He's not hired. This is not a hired one. This is a real shepherd, the owner of the sheep. If it means dying for them, he dies for them to preserve them. And that's why he has died for us, to preserve all of us. None of the Christians will ever be lost. And brothers and sisters, this must be assurance. This must be comfort. If you're here, you have never seen Christ in this picture, please, I invite you to come to Christ. And if you come to Him, He will provide for you something of eternal salvation, real life, an abundant life. He will preserve you in your faith. He will be present with you in all your troubles. And you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord bless you.